Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
So, how is everybody today on this Thursday? Everybody get some sleep after the debate last night, for those of you who watched it.
Or during.
If you didn't miss a lot, quite frankly. You missed some style, but not a lot of substance, is if I had to wrap it up. You missed a little bit of theatrics, a little bit of drama, a little bit of style that we learned, but not a lot of substance that came out of that hour and a half last night.
No, and if I can be a little more critical than that, it seemed like even the drama was awfully contrived. I mean, you know that they go into these things with certain lines that they're just waiting to drop. And whenever there's some perceived insult or some drama that comes out about, you know, the sort of righteous indignation that goes with that, it always seems so utterly contrived. It's like, I know you're going to use this line on me. So when you do, boy, am I going to be awful mad about it. And it just comes off as just ersatz. It's just phony.
If you want to call and talk about it, 576-7798, text in 913-576-7798. Feel free. We can talk about The Fly, which was maybe
I love
the most
movie.
Entertaining part of the evening. If you didn't watch the debate, I wasn't even looking up. I think I was on Twitter. I was just listening to it. And at some point, I just started seeing stuff pop up on Twitter. And I was like, and I had to look up and see. I don't know how long it was, maybe a minute. Yeah. I don't know how long it was sitting there. But there was a fly that had parked on Mike Pence's head for a bit.
Stayed there for a long time. I mean, that was the thing about it, is it's not just that it was there. I mean, that can happen to anybody. In fact, one of the more famous scenes in the movie Raiders of the Lost Ark, the guy who plays the bad guy, Belloc, eats a fly on screen. Just it accidentally flew into his mouth. And he just kept going with the shot, which was pretty baller. But, you know, when it happened with Mike Pence, it sat on his hair. It didn't move. And it just stayed there for a couple of minutes, not doing much of anything. And then, poof, it was gone.
It has its own Twitter account now. Bug on Mike's head.
Of course it does.
Uh-huh. I think is what it is. I'm surprised it didn't get more followers. When I looked this morning, it was only up to 75 followers or something like that. You'd think that was the kind of thing that would catch on a bit.
No, but I'll tell you, the hashtag, the PenceFly hashtag, went bananas. Mm-hmm. So that's still out there. And if you want to be really entertained, I mean, some of the things people are saying about it are awfully funny.
Other than that, the thing that irritates me about the debate, about any debate, and this isn't unique to this one, but I don't like it when you don't answer a question.
Uh-huh.
And I was yelling at my TV from the first question that was asked. I was just completely annoyed from the get-go that questions were not being answered. I don't know why I was surprised. It didn't get better. At no point did it improve, but I was annoyed from 30 seconds in.
Yeah. Are you going to do this? You know, when I was a child, wait a minute, hold on, stop.
Yes. You know, there are some memes going around about some of the facial expressions or lack of it. I don't know how much that matters. It was much more controlled than the presidential debate that we had.
Yes.
So
Yeah, it seemed like, I mean, there wasn't anywhere near as much interrupting. There wasn't anywhere near as much talking over each other. What there was over-talking, over-speaking your time, and just, and the moderator had to jump in time and time again and say, okay, thank you, okay, thank you, and they just kept going.
Actually, can we talk about that for a second? If there was a loser of this debate last night, it was that moderator.
Yes.
Who... And if I was yelling about anything, it was, this was how I saw it. And if anybody was running more clocks than I was, but I started sitting there with a stopwatch to see how much over time she was letting them go. And there was one instance where I even tweeted this last night where Mike Pence answered the question first. I'll complain about format here in a second, but yeah. Mike Pence answered the question first. Then she came in and answered it. And then the moderator, Susan Page, is that?
Yes.
Yeah, from Susan USA Page, Today. I think was her name, said, okay, she had let Mike Pence go over time. And she said, okay, but we need to keep, it was something like, we need to not go as long on this answer because we have more issues to get to. Then she lets Mike Pence respond and jump in again. And I was losing my mind.
Yeah, well, and when she said that, when she said, when Kamala Harris was getting ready to give her response, and she said, okay, you know, you can take a little time on this, but we need to move on. Kamala Harris said, well, I want equal time. I want equal time with
give
what he
just
got.
Give me as much time as he got.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that moderator did a garbage job with that. And at one point, and then she scolded the two candidates and said, your campaigns agreed to these time limits. Okay, well, your job at that point, instead of saying, thank you, Mr. Vice President, which is what she kept trying to say, mm-hmm. it's like when a child is acting up and you just keep using the same tone of voice over and over and over. Stop it, Tommy. Stop it, Tommy. Stop it, Tommy. They're not doing anything different. You have to try something else. Garbage job by the moderator.
Yeah, and it's not an easy gig. That's true, but there has to be some kind of control. And they have to ride that line between doing what she did last night, coming off as almost school teachery in the worst mm-hmm. possible connotation of that, of saying, okay, 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 and being disrespectful, because that's what you can't do as a moderator, is you can't say, please stop talking. You can't raise your voice at them as much as all of us sitting at home were doing exactly the same thing.
When I was teaching and I had a class full of high school kids that wouldn't stop talking, the thing that is very effective, the thing that's way more effective than yelling, is silence. I realize you can't do that on live TV, but you just stop until they realize, oh, hey, there's something going on here that I'm missing.
We're being
way
bad,
more
aren't
effective
we?
Than raising your voice. Yeah, like, yeah. Uh-oh, what? She was talking before and now she's not. What's going on?
I think the problem with using that in a debate, though, is silence around a politician is like red meat. Really? I get to talk more and you're not going to stop me?
Yes.
Woohoo!
Yeah. So we'll talk more about it. Bill Lacey from the Dole Institute of Politics over at KU is going to join us coming up at 11:30 because we need to talk about last night. And real briefly here, we can mention the update on the next presidential debate set for a week from tonight. Yeah,
nightmare.
I know. If you missed the update on that, this was happening this morning, and it happened pretty quickly. The Presidential Debate Commission, came out this morning and said that's going to be a virtual debate, that we are going to make that debate October 15th. They're not going to be in the same place. President Trump, I think, had called into Fox and Friends or something this morning and said, I'm not going to do it. If it's virtual, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to take my ball and I'm going to go home.
His quote was, I'm not going to waste my time. And, there are questions now about what do you do in that case? If you offer the time to both candidates to show up for a debate, and this is the town hall style debate. Mm-hmm. If you're going to offer that time and one of the candidates just says, no, do you then let the other candidate go for an hour and a half? Because I'm sure Joe Biden would love the TV time.
That's what I wouldn't mind asking people here for a second. Somebody asked us all that question on Twitter this morning and tagged a bunch of people from KMBZ on it. So that question is worth some discussion. And if you can't get your head out of it being President Trump, then what if one of the candidates who initially agreed on a debate, now keep in mind, the campaigns got together however many months ago and decided this is what we were going to do. We're going to do three presidential debates now. President Trump got COVID-19, and so that's why the Presidential Debate Commission, which kind of handles the procedures and is in charge of all that, said, okay, because he's still recovering from COVID-19 and we need to give this more time, It's just better if we have these two virtually. So what do you do if one of the candidates bails and says, I'm not going to do this?
Yeah.
Do you allow the other candidate 90 minutes of TV time solo?
Yeah.
Because Joe Biden's not bailing. He's in. Of course he's in now, but he was in before.
But yeah, and there's been a lot of talk and a lot of argument this morning already over the Commission on Presidential Debates and how they handled this, because this was a dictate. This wasn't anything that was negotiated. Yeah. They were just like, this is it. This is how we're doing this. One of these guys has tested positive for COVID-19. We're doing this virtually. And that's when the campaign, at least the Trump campaign, clapped back and said, no, I'm not going to waste my time with a virtual debate. And whether they should have approached the campaigns first before they made the announcement to get some kind of tacit approval from them to move forward with changes to the format, still, they have to react to it. They can't just ignore the fact that it happened. But if you look at the fact that the vice presidential debate, there were arguments about the size and spacing of plexiglass before that. You have to know that any kind, even the most minute change you make to that format is going to cause somebody to throw a tantrum.
But, John, what if they don't agree ahead of time? What if the debate commission had gone to the campaigns first and said, listen.
And they said no. Yeah.
And they said no. Then what do you do? Do you do what you're going to do anyway and just give them the courtesy of having an opinion, but then you ignore that opinion if they can't agree? Because that's where we'd be. We'd have President Trump saying, fine, that I'm not doing the debate. And Joe Biden saying, well, heck yeah, I'm in. And then are you in the exact same place?
Probably. But at least at that point, you give the impression that you gave them some kind of control, you know, that
you
went to them
about
first.
What they think.
Yeah, right. Because really, I mean, we're talking about a safety issue here. We're talking about a situation where somebody could get somebody else sick with a disease that's killed 210,000 people. As the Commission on Presidential Debates, you cannot ignore that, even though in the first debate they did.
Except that now you know he had COVID.
Yep.
I mean, now you know more than you did for the last presidential debate, and you can't ignore the information that you have. 576-7798. Lines are ringing, so we'll get to you here coming up in just a couple of minutes. 913-576-7798 is the text line. We'll get to your comments coming up in just a few minutes. 10:15 here on KMVZ. A presidential debate is scheduled for a week from tonight, and originally that was going to be an in-person debate between President Trump and Vice President Joe Biden. But after President Trump tested positive for COVID, the debate commission, the Presidential Debate Commission, came out today and said that is now going to be a virtual debate because President Trump has tested positive for COVID. This is no longer safe. Can't even put them in the same room and put them apart. You gotta do it virtually. So President Trump said, that's not worth my time. I'm not going to do it. The question is, what do you do now? 576-7798, text in 913-576-7798. And some of this, I don't know what rules and policies the debate commission set out ahead of time.
Yeah, and we'll get to some of that. Let's get to the phones and bring Brandon and KCK in first. Hey, Brandon, how you doing?
I'm doing good. I just wanted to weigh in on a few topics, especially the previous topic you guys talked about. As far as the time, each candidate, based on CNN's polling, actually got roughly about the same amount of time. I think there's about 30 seconds of difference. Maybe down to specific topics have changed. So based on that, I think there was a lot of disservice, though, due to the fact they asked some questions that you already knew where the candidate stood, like Pence on abortion. You knew he's pro-life. You knew Kamala was pro-choice. So why waste, I mean, people still need to know, but why waste that time on that? Let's focus on an issue that's actually important, that's actually going to impact the election that people don't know about.
What would you have liked to hear more about?
I think there should have been more gun control. What the actual true campaign's point of view is on that. I mean, most people know about the Republican stance, but I think there needs to be more dug into that. Maybe more so instead of specifically attacking one candidate based on a tax policy that was implemented by the other party who he played the game. I mean, that's obviously a personal opinion of mine, but still at the same time, like, let's talk about the actual issue, how we fix that situation, about fixing the system instead of just, oh, I have a tax plan to raise tax or lower tax. Let's talk about the root cause of each issue and fix that issue so this way we could actually progress instead of go back and forth playing tug of war between two parties.
Okay.
And then the next, sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead. I think you're going where I was going to point you.
The next thing I was going to talk about is, like, as far as the debate setup, if they did, and I heard you say that you don't know exactly what the rules they agreed to beforehand are. If it is they agreed to them in person, that's fine. You know, they both kind of got talked at, both the president and the vice president, and, you know, Kamala Harris and Vice President Biden, about the rules. Okay, well, if the rules were, hey, we agreed to three in-person, you know, debates with X amount of time, and this is the format and all that stuff, that's what we agreed to. We didn't agree to a virtual. Plus, if the test is negative for the COVID, I think that they should go ahead with it. And I think at this point right now, just like you've seen with, you know, I feel like a little bit with the Russia thing, I feel like you've seen it with almost anything nowadays, I feel like, on mainstream media, it's really hard because they don't wait. They jump to, I feel like, just have clickbait to keep them numbers up, to keep them people that are sitting there grinding at the bit to watch that TV to see what's going on, whatever's going to push essentially their narrative. And, I mean, it's a business at the same time. But I feel like as I don't know the journalist standpoint because, you know,
you're losing me. I don't know what you're saying. What's your point?
Me either.
My point is that more or less that the media, instead of waiting to get all the information, puts out a whole bunch of different information. So what do you believe?
About
so,
what?
I'm going to ask a direct question. Can I just ask a direct question? President, just to keep things a bit on track here. President Trump says, I am not going to take part in a virtual debate. That's what he has said. What do you do now with that 90 minutes of TV and radio and media airtime that has been reserved? Because Vice President Biden says, I'm in. Trump says, I'm out. What do you do now?
It depends on what the agreement is. If they agree to the fact that each person gets 90 minutes, if they didn't agree to, if the other person didn't show up, they get the extra 90 minutes. It's just open airtime that they get the whoever it is that's putting up a debate gets to sell off to a news company or whatever. I don't think the other person should get an extra few minutes because once again, they didn't agree. Because if it
but let's
was,
say they did. Let's say because we don't know, Brandon. So let's say for the sake of argument, real fast. Let's say for the sake of argument that they agreed to debates but didn't specify. I'm going to guess that's how it worked. That it didn't occur to anybody to differentiate between in-person and virtual debates. They just agreed to debates, okay? That's my assumption because I just don't believe it got that specific. So let's take that track for a second. Let's say they didn't specify virtual or not. So now you've got 90 minutes booked on national TV and only one candidate who's willing to show up. Do you just give him the full 90 minutes?
I mean, I guess you got to give him the full 90 minutes. The rules, the rules. I get what you're saying. I definitely don't agree with that. With COVID going on and being so serious, as people are saying it is, which it is, I've had it, and I've had no people that have had it, I still think that they would have took that consideration in there, especially Joe Biden's stance on COVID and knowing Donald Trump's stance on COVID. So,
see, here's why I think they didn't agree to it ahead of time, because I don't think the Presidential Debate Commission would have come out and said, we're going to do a virtual debate. If they hadn't agreed ahead of time, we wouldn't do them. You know what I mean? Unless President Trump changed his mind.
Right. And like I said, if it is that, then yeah, okay. Joe Biden gets the full 90 minutes to sit there and go off, which honestly, I don't know if that's a full benefit to him. In reality, I feel like unless you walked through the situation, which you kind of saw just as much as Trump was interrupting and got corrected for that, and Biden still interrupted, nowhere near as much as Trump did, but didn't get corrected for that. You saw a lot of that vice versa when it came down to the issues. Instead of pushing Biden on the issues, you know, when they should have, or they kind of like coaxed it or like, oh, this is what we're talking about now. You know, there's a lot of that. So in that situation, I mean, heck, sit there and talk as much as you want. You might actually do more harm than good being Joe Biden. Because you're going to be saying a lot of stuff then Trump could just make ads for or come back out and do a virtual thing on Twitter or social media or whatever and have his own little thing that he doesn't have to worry about that and be able to push more content through, you know, more modern means of communication.
I don't know. I think you'll see that 90 minutes of free airtime is pretty valuable. But we appreciate the call. Thanks for getting in.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Thanks a lot for the call. Can I get Alex on before? Okay, we're going to take a break. We're going to go to news. And then, Alex, if you hang on the line, we will get to your call coming up after news. If anybody else wants to get in, 576-7798. News is next on KMBZ. President Trump says he will not take part in a debate that is done virtually. Says it's a waste of his time. What do you do then if you've got 90 minutes of media time? And Vice President Joe Biden says, I'm in. We'll go back to the phones. Alex has been hanging on the line here for a bit in Kansas City. Alex, thanks for hanging on. What's on your mind today?
Hey, how you doing? Thanks for having me on.
Sure. What's going on?
So I think the answer is really simple, but I don't think it's one that they're going to allow to happen. And the simple answer is, if Trump doesn't want to do it and Biden does, I personally don't think you can give a candidate 90 straight minutes. But I think the easy answer is there's several third-party candidates that are on the ballot in, if not all 50 states, nearly all 50 states. I know Joe Jorgensen of the Libertarian Party, yep, 100% is on all 50 states ballots. And she's gotten almost no voice. I don't think this will actually happen. And the reason why is, as neutral as the debate commission and those organizations are, they're neutral in the sense that they want things to be fair and impartial in the two-party system. When it comes to those within the commission who are voting or rooting for a Biden-Harris presidency, they're going to be wary of letting a Libertarian candidate come on there and siphon Democrat votes. And those voting for the incumbent to retain his position are going to be wary for the exact same reason. And that's because, and I don't know much about the Green Party, so that's why I'm talking about the Libertarian Party so much. The Libertarian Party sits more on the conservative side, but they're a lot more center than either one of the parties are. And so both parties should be justifiably concerned about votes being siphoned off. Well, but is that really a bad thing?
Understood, but usually, I mean, I don't agree with you at all about the, they just want to keep things status quo with a two-party system. We've seen three-member debates. We've seen three-member presidential debates late in the going. It's a matter of polling, and if you're not polling, I don't remember exactly what the cutoff is. I think it's 5%, but I could be wrong. If you're not polling at a certain level nationwide, they don't want you on the stage because you're not going to win. And it's not a matter of trying to get them to siphon votes or not siphon votes. It's just they know that to the American people who are going to be watching that debate, you're not relevant.
Yeah, I mean, I get what you're saying, but polling is historically inaccurate, especially when
you not by that much.
But when you look at the last election, what was Gary Johnson's numbers post-election? I'm willing to bet he pulled 5% of the vote.
Oh, not anywhere near. I'd have to go back and look, but it wasn't anywhere near. But you have to cut it off somewhere because, as you said quite accurately, there's a number of third-party candidates. In any given election year, there's usually about 20 of them. So you have to cut it off somewhere, and they just, you know, they pick that percentage before the debate and go with it. It just so happens that most people are partisan, and that's, you know, that's why they poll the way that they do.
Okay, well, my perception of the system aside, perhaps in this instance, they could run an exemption or an exception, and whoever's polling in third place, even if they're polling at 1%, can be allowed on the stage.
Yeah, that wouldn't be a bad way to do it. If you just do it by where in the horse race you are.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. Okay. All right.
And that's all I got. Thanks again.
You got it, Alex.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Let's see. Let's go to Jim next in Martin City. Hey, Jim, how's it going?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, what's up?
Hey, Alex pretty much touched on the back half of his comment of what I was going to say, and I think Joe Jorgensen needs to be on the stage, regardless of whether Trump does it or not.
Okay.
But, I mean, she's on all 50 state ballots, and after the first debate, her Google searches went way up. I mean, she's trending, and I think that she needs to be heard.
Okay.
So. All right. Thanks a lot for the call. We appreciate it. I don't know what they'll end up doing. I don't think Joe Biden gets 90 minutes on stage. My guess is that they renegotiate this somehow so that Trump is in this debate. I don't think they're just going to give Vice President Biden 90 minutes.
I don't either. Just because of the way that it looks. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's enough of that out there. There's enough of the quack, quack, quack. And regardless, whatever the phony baloney excuses that everybody comes up with for doing it the way they do it, it's never going to satisfy anybody. And I think the Commission on Presidential Debates is just sitting there with their head in their hands going, oh, man, like, please.
Would you please just cooperate?
Yeah.
You know, would you please just do it this one time?
Right.
And then it's a matter of whether Joe Biden's campaign says, no, we don't want to be in the same room. We're worried he has COVID.
Yeah.
You know?
And how is that wrong? How is he any more or less wrong for using that than using the, you're not being fair to me because you're making me do a virtual debate thing? And I mean, I know the answer is kind of obvious, but and they've really almost already said it. Why they feel that a virtual debate is such an insult? Why is that the line in the sand?
Yeah, that's a good. Why is that less valuable? Why is that a waste of his time? Why do you have to be in person? John, I think we both know why.
Well, he
I think
said
we
it.
Both know the reason.
He said it on Fox News this morning during that interview. He said, "I can't interrupt." You know,
right?
So yeah, well, the thing is, you're not supposed to.
What? You're not supposed to? What?
I know. Crazy, right?
I know. All right. Let's get another caller on here. Let's go to the Northland next. And Joel's got an idea for us. Hi, Joel.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah. Sure.
I was just going to suggest or offer that if the President Trump, doesn't want to appear, perhaps he could have a substitute like Vice President Pence could step in his place and debate with Joe Biden.
Interesting thought. I don't know if you can. I guess you can do anything.
I don't know if that fixes it. President Trump is saying, I think there are style questions there. And I think it makes the president look weak if he says,
I think it's him
kind of giving in. Yeah.
Well, that is certainly his option. He can appear. He could have a substitute. Or he could have no one, in which case I would not think that Biden should be given the full 90 minutes. I mean, when you have a football game and one team doesn't appear, the other team doesn't get to run up and down the field for...
No, a forfeit is a forfeit, but in that case, the other team does get the win.
Right.
That's exactly true.
And so in this case, a win for Vice President Biden is, I agreed to do this the way that the commission wanted us to.
Yeah.
Give me at least some time here.
That would at least be the perception, in my opinion.
Okay. All right. Thanks.
Thanks
for
Joel.
Getting in. I don't know. I mean, if you... case could be made. And again, I don't know that I believe this because, to be perfectly honest about it, I don't know how much these debates are moving the needle anyway. But... And how much they ever do, by the way. It's not just the fact that it happens to be these two. I don't know that the debates really mean that much toward swaying that many people. The only thing that you can do is, as a previous caller pointed out, you can botch it really badly and screw yourself over. But, I mean, they know what they're doing. So, I think that when it comes down to it, using a proxy like that or you know, refusing to go... If you wanted to make the case that following the first debate, now granted, there was a lot more going on with coronavirus and everything else, but if you wanted to make the case that because after the first debate, the polls started going way in Joe Biden's favor, especially in swing states, that maybe not debating at all, that forcing a no debate in the second debate would be a win for the president because he wouldn't do himself any more damage. Now, I don't think that's why the poll numbers started going in that direction. I don't. I don't think it had anything to do with the debates necessarily. But, I think that maybe the case could be made that by forfeiting, he would effectively be giving himself a win, if you call it off.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.